We begin with the gathering hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome to worship this morning. Please notice all the announcements. They are on the last pages of your bulletin. Just one thing to highlight, on Wednesday, October 7th, a flu shot clinic will be offered, and that will be in the fellowship hall. There's more details in the announcements then. Are there other announcements that need to be made this morning? Anybody else have announcements? If not, then we move on to the greeting and dialogue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord.
Our people holy to the Lord our God.
Keep the words of the Lord in your heart. Teach them to your children. One does not live by bread alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Lord God, you call us to work in your vineyard and leave no one standing idle. Set us to our task in the work of your kingdom and help us to order our lives by your wisdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, I Love Your Kingdom, Lord.
First lesson for today is from the book of Jonah, the 3rd and 4th chapters. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, Yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals. The word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is verses from Psalm 145. We'll read it in unison, please. I will exalt you, O God my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. There is no end to his greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your power. I will ponder the glorious splendor of your majesty, and all your marvelous works. They shall speak of the might of your wondrous acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness. They shall sing of your righteous deeds. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. Today's second lesson is from the book of Philippians, the first chapter. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last to the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
And I believe Nicholas has a children's sermon for us today.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, children. Thank you so much for being here. Today's adventure of Jesus tells a story of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Anytime Jesus starts a story that says the kingdom of heaven is like, you have to pay extra attention, because what he's doing is telling you what life is like, and then what he's going to do is tell you how the future is going to work out. So in this story, what Pastor Tim just read was there's a man who needs work to be done in the field, and he hires 3 types of workers. His first set of workers, they're going to work all day, from the morning to the sun sets. His second type of workers, they're going to come in just after lunch, and they're going to work right after lunchtime to the end of the day. And the third and final type of worker is the type of worker that shows up right at the last hour. Now, it's his work, it's his land, he does what he wants with it. But the laborer, the manager of the land, also does what he wants with his money. And in this story, he chose to pay everybody the same. I don't know how much it was, but let's just say $500. Everybody got $500. Aiden, you get $500. Zoe, you get $500. I saw Mr. Koopman somewhere. I don't know where he is right now, but Mr. Koopman, the young one, you get $500. Now, the problem would be this, is if I told this Aiden, "Hey, I need you to work for me all day. I'm going to pay you $500 all day. Easy." Now, you would have no problem with that, because it's $500. That's a lot of money for a kid. But I venture to say that you would have a problem if you found out I was paying Zoe over there $500 and she only got to work 4 hours a day. She gets to come in after lunch. You're there all day. You're only there half the day, Zoe. Good for you, $500. Now, you would have no problem with that, but I venture to also say you would have a problem with that if you found out I was paying young Mr. Koopman back there $500 for 1 hour. You would look at him, "Oh, you're lucky." Aiden will look at both of you, "What's your problem? Both of you are lucky. I'm out here in the heat." And that's the way it works. The picture that Jesus is trying to get you is this. All of us, from young to old, from Pastor Tim to myself, to someone who doesn't believe, we're all those workers. And that working time is our spiritual walk with God. Some of us will be born and we will come into this world. We will just believe in Jesus because of our family. They give us a strong foundation. We will come to church every Sunday. We'll grow up. We'll come to Mrs. Garcia for in the Sunday school nursery. We'll grow up. Then we'll go down to the big basement with Pastor Tim, the PT and friends. And then we'll take your communion classes. And then we'll take your confirmation classes. And then you'll come to me in the junior high. And then you'll also come to me again in the senior high. And then I train you up and we send you out. And then you're an adult. And then you're a Christian adult. And you're a grown man. You marry a Christian wife. And you have Christian babies, and it's all wonderful. And Jesus says, "Good for you." Some of you will be like me. "Hey, Jesus, you stay on your side of the earth. I'll stay on my side of the earth." And then at 23 years old, somewhere in your mid-20s, Jesus will come and touch your heart and grab you, and then you'll end up doing this for a living. And then some people who are listening to this broadcast will have never heard Jesus, who don't like him for no other reason because Jesus did something to them a long time ago, and they're holding on to that anger. And just before they die, in their old age, they're finally going to say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how I acted. I'm sorry for how I behaved. Please forgive me." And Jesus, in all three cases, whether you have been a follower of Christ your entire life, whether you are like me and you were a follower of Christ somewhere in your mid-20s to the end of your life, or whether you are a follower of Christ in that very last hour just before you die, Jesus says, "You are welcome, you are clean, you are holy, you are my son, come on home with me to paradise." And that's the story. At any point, you shouldn't do this, but at any point, you can always look to God and say, "I'm sorry for how I behave. I'm sorry for how I acted. Please forgive me of my sins." And Jesus will say, "Yes, my child. It is well with you. You are loved. You are mine. Welcome home." Pastor Tim is about to have his sermon. I want to remind you all, you are loved. You are liked. Jesus cherishes you. And if something happens to you this week, you're going home with Jesus. God bless you. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If any of you have ever been around children, you've probably heard this phrase before. It's not fair. It's not fair. He got a bigger piece of cake than I did. It's not fair. She got to go first last time. As we grow up, we continue to say, "It's not fair." And we hear that coming from labor groups. We hear it coming from social groups. We hear it within organizations. We hear it within schools. We hear it about housing. We hear it about wages. We hear it even within churches then too. People saying it's not fair. So what's going on? Because it is ingrained to us. We try to teach our children to play fair, to be fair. It's within the founding documents of our country that all men or people are created equal. We say in the Pledge of Allegiance, "For liberty and justice for all." We want the world to be fair. We want it to be even. We want everything to be on an even keel, that nobody should get cheated in any way. And a lot of times when people are hollering, "It's not fair," it's because it's not fair. Other people have better opportunities. Or people get greedy and they take from what belongs to other people. It's not fair. We live in an unfair world. And then we come to this parable this morning. This parable where the landowner, the manager of the vineyard, pays everybody the same price, same wage, no matter how long they work. And we holler, "Unfair. This doesn't sound right with us. This doesn't jive with us. Those that worked for only an hour only ought to get an hour's worth of wage. Those that work for 9 or 10 hours ought to get 10 hours worth of wage. It's not fair. It's not fair." But what's interesting in this parable is that those who were hollering, "It's not fair," actually were the only ones that were fairly treated. They were treated fair. That's who in this parable was treated fair, are those who were hollering, "It's not fair." What's going on in this parable, it's not about how to run a business, but it's about the generosity of God. If you look at this, those that were hollering, "It's not fair," got paid exactly what they deserved. They had agreed at the beginning of the day to work all day long in the vineyard, and they would be paid the usual daily wage. The owner of the vineyard needed more workers, so he goes out at different points of the day and hires more workers. It's almost intentionally like the owner wanted to pick a fight. because he tells his manager, line them up in reverse order. In that way, they could see what everybody else was making. Now, I know sometimes when I was growing up in school, the teacher would tell us when she was handing back our test grades, don't tell anybody else what you have. What you made on that test is your own business. Our employers a lot of times will say, do not tell other employees what you are making, because it makes jealousy. We get jealous of each other. We get jealous of one another. When we see somebody who has less than we do, we think, see how much better I am? See how much harder I've worked? See how smarter I am, that I can have and accumulate so much more than this other person has. But if we have less than somebody else has, then we say, it's not fair. They cheated. We get jealous of those who have more than us. We are constantly comparing ourselves to one another. And it's almost as if this landowner wanted them to do that, wanted the people to do that. But that's the whole point of the parable, to bring out what is the point of this parable of God is generous. Those that were paid first were actually the ones who were treated fairly. All the others were not treated fairly. But with this parable and with God, what's the difference is when we holler it's not fair, is that with God, fair is the beginning point. God goes beyond fair. He goes beyond being fair because he is generous. He gives it all. He gives beyond what people deserve. He gives more than what we have worked for. God is generous beyond comprehension. When we stop to think about it, everything belongs to God. It is his. And God will give what is his. It belongs to him. He simply just gives it to us. Maybe it's the ability to do good work. Maybe it's the intellect to do good work. Maybe it's just the opportunity or the experience to be able to do more. God gives everything to us. He gives us the ability, the opportunity, the experience, the education, everything we need. Everything we need and more. God is not fair. God gave exactly what he promised to those who started out in the vineyard first. But he gave way beyond that to the other workers. It was beyond fair. Christ calls us into his kingdom. As Nick mentioned, it starts out that it says, the kingdom of heaven is like. God calls us to be workers within his kingdom. Some of us arrived there early, maybe born and baptized a day or two after birth. Come to Sunday school every Sunday, go to church every Sunday, be taught by parents at home, be raised in that Christian atmosphere, and go on to continue to be workers in that kingdom of heaven throughout lifetimes. Others may not hear about it until maybe their late teens or 20s. Others may not finally catch on until their 40s or 50s. And then there's others then too. It's on that last hour before they die that they finally believe, they finally get it, they finally understand who God is and what God has done for them. God calls us to be workers in this kingdom, to go out and to plant and to sow and to harvest, to be there for other people, to bring this good news to them. And God pays us all the same. He pays each and every one of us the very same. And he pays us in such a way that it's not fair, because none of us deserve the wages that God gives to us. Those wages of salvation, those wages of hope, those wages of grace, those wages of generosity. He brings us freedom. He brings us our salvation, that which we do not deserve. And so God gives beyond generosity. What we actually deserve is punishment and death. But God doesn't give that to us. God is not fair, because God gives us life. He gives us life now. He gives us life, the promise of life, for everlasting. He gives life abundantly. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, Jesus Still Lead On. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in
living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world and all those who are in need. Thank you, Father, for calling us early, midday, and late in life to be your disciples and workers in your kingdom's vineyard. Give us grace to hear your call and strength to do your will. Thank you for the wages of everlasting life and salvation, and for your pleasure in us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our persecuted sisters and brothers around the world, especially in North Korea, Syria, Iraq, Sudan, and Nigeria. Give them courage to honor Christ in their body, to speak and live the gospel with boldness and joy, and to know that they are participating in the suffering of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Grant wisdom to our earthly leaders. Let them seek you while you may be found, call upon you while you are near, and govern in accordance with your holy will. Graciously grant patience, kindness, and humility to everyone, so that we may lead peaceable lives. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our young people, especially those considering a vocation to ministry and service in your church. Give them delight in learning and love for your people. Preserve them from consequences of folly or malice. Use their energy to please you and to serve their neighbor. Lord, in your mercy. Even beyond our expectations, you choose to give generously. Grant life, health, and comfort to all who are in need. We pray especially for David Stern, David Lossman, Kay Hilbrick, and the family of Ruth Brandt. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Father, for those we love who have departed this life and are now with Christ. Though we grieve, we also rejoice, for we know that to live is Christ and to die is gain. We look forward to the day when we will see how many persons Christ has redeemed and welcomed into your blessed kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your mercy through Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share them with those who need them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing."
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.